We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Julie Campestron is the CEO of Stop, Breathe, and Think, right?
Yeah.
Which people should do about every day, right?
That's what we advocate. Yeah. It's about daily practice.
I love the title and I love the idea. It's great. Quickly, what is it?
So it's an emotional wellness app where you check in with how you're feeling mentally, physically, and what emotions you're dealing with. And then we provide or we recommend short meditations and other types of activities. We just launched emotions-based yoga and acupressure to help you take a little break in your day and help you, you know, basically adapt to those feelings and, and help you with it.
Are the meditations specific?
They are, yeah. So, you know, we recommend different types of meditation depending on what you're dealing with. You know, if you're angry or if you're sad or if you're happy, there are different types of
techniques.
You
want to be happier?
Everybody wants to be happier. I mean, we talk more about, you know, finding peace and peace of mind. You know, happiness is a little overrated and I think is a little bit like, you know, people use that word a little bit freely. But, you know, for us, it's
about... How you feeling? I'm happy. I am, really.
It's really about building resilience and finding peace of mind, trying to help people get a little break and, you know, develop their resilience to all the different things that, you know, kind of get in their way and that they have to deal with.
We'll get into it in the next segment. Did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
It's funny. I had a stint at entrepreneurship when I was about 22, so pretty young, 6 months of my life.
Now that's old, by the way.
That's, yeah, I don't want to date myself, but yeah, that was like 20 years ago.
I'm just saying now.
Right, yes. And then I kind of swore I would never do it again because I thought it was like one of the hardest things ever. But I was very young, very inexperienced. But this felt like the perfect fit, and I felt like I had so much more experience from the 20 plus years that I've, you know, kind of worked in corporate environments and in startups. And so
you probably learned stop, breathe, and think in corporate environments.
Yeah, I mean, in corporate environments and startups as well. I mean, it's really all about, as you gain experience, understanding, you know, what are the trigger points for you and how you can deal with it and taking a deep breath and taking a distance and, you know, being able to kind of put things in perspective are things that definitely you learn over time and things that stress you out when you're in your 20s or, you know, things that seem pretty trivial when you're kind of, you know, older.
Yeah, I was always taught, recently been taught, to think of everything in a different way. If something bad happens to you, you know, write a gratitude list. That's too easy. But to think of everything in a different perspective. And I think that people are searching for this kind of a deal, right? This kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Searching to be able to stop, breathe, and think. And it sounds easy, like stop, breathe, think. But it's not. Right?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, well, one is it's a really widespread issue that we're dealing with here. You know, 70% of U.S. adults experience stress. If you look at millennials, it's over 80%.
So is it really?
Yeah, so it seems to be even worse as kind of, you know, with younger generations. Suicide is the number two cause of death for that age group. So, you know, there's a real issue here of emotional and mental health and you know, it is not easy because like any behavior change, like eating more healthily or, you know, going for a run or doing fitness, you know, it's about the routine of it. And it's about figuring out a way to make it daily because the practice is really what matters and the consistency is what matters. And like anything, you know, we get lazy and it's easy to kind of fall off the horse.
And I will say you got to do it right almost the first or second time or you'll get bored.
Yeah. And you kind of have, we see that, you know, people have to do, we have this kind of magic number that if someone downloads the app and does a meditation at least 3 times in the first 10 days of downloading the app, then they're twice more likely to still be a user 60 days in. So it is about kind of getting over that hump of really understanding the benefits.
It's clearing your mind is what it is. I mean, when I first started meditating, I would go, where's my iPhone? You know, I mean, just.
Yeah, it's about, you know, more than clearing your mind, it's about letting thoughts go, you know, in and out without focusing on them. So it's not necessarily blocking them out because the minute you want to block them out, like that's when they come
and that's,
you know, screaming.
All you're thinking about, you're right.
Yeah, so it's really about letting them, like we have this image of, you know, clouds passing through the sky. But, you know, the way this works is for some people, meditation will be great and will work perfectly fine. But for some others, you know, it might be a couple stretches, a couple breathing exercises. Again, it's about doing something.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. What was your first job?
So my first job, I was doing PR for L'Oreal in France. I was based out of Paris in the headquarters.
Do you speak French? Comment allez-vous?
Je vais très bien. Je suis française. I'm French originally.
That's
so.
A joke. She's so fluent.
Yeah, so that was my first job. And then pretty quickly, you know, kind of went into marketing. PR wasn't necessarily my favorite, but it was a great entry point for me to get into L'Oreal, which was obviously a great
school. Well, PR was something that they would either teach in college and they just... Like every source, everything would be put in PR. I'm taking PR. Really? We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Julie Campistron. Julie Campistron is our guest, and she is French, and she's got a great idea. These are the kinds of ideas, I'm very into this, that these are the ideas that change America.
Yeah, so it's
Trump's
interesting.
Trump's got it wrong.
So I was at the march on Saturday, and there were
so was I downtown.
Yeah,
yeah,
which was amazing.
It's inspiring, yeah.
Yes, really inspiring, and there were so many signs that said "Make America Kind Again," and that's, you know, at the end of the day, Stop Breathe and Think was born out of Jamie, my partner, Jamie Price. She was the founder of Tools for Peace, which is a nonprofit that teaches mindfulness and meditation to at-risk youth, and that's how Stop Breathe and Think was born. Originally, the app, out of the work that she was doing with these kids. And so it really is a labor of love born out of trying to help people who, you know, were struggling, but really help them through compassion and learning kindness and empathy. And, you know, our roots continue as we're kind of building a business around it. And so for us, this mission of spreading peace and spreading kindness and helping people have empathy for, you know, each other is something that's incredibly
important. Well, it was on display at those marches. I mean, those marches were started, in case you forgot, organically. They just started as you and I walking down the street, and then they grew to a million people.
Yeah, and they were incredibly peaceful. And, you know, all the values and the messages that were kind of shared were incredibly positive.
And the one thing I liked about it, and when we start talking about Stop, Breathe, and Think, it's everything that you want people to do. I mean, people were talking to each other. They were thinking about something, and that means changing the world.
You know? Yeah.
People were actually engaged.
Yeah.
And it takes a whole different kind of society to do that.
Right, and compassionate, you know, and again,
I think... nice.
Yes, exactly. Polite.
Polite.
That's women for you, though. Group of women. Like, I know it's so funny. We were packed us like sardines and, you know, everybody was so sweet. You know, hey, do you want some granola for a snack? You know, we were there for 2 hours packed before the march started. And everybody was so incredibly polite and patient and just kind.
They were nice to me, too. I mean, they all... A man, you know, they're so happy that a guy came out.
It was great to have a variety of people. Yeah. So, you know, I think for us, it's, you know, it's, again, it connects very well with the values that we're trying to, you know, help people practice. And it's hard. Look, practicing kindness is hard. You know, we all get angry and it's not, you know, you don't have to be, you know, crazy to be
angry.
Don't
come in here and tell me what to do.
So, frustration and things like that. Right. So it's really about, you know, giving people tools to help them through that.
Do you have a favorite entrepreneur?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, I really like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and all that he's done with Facebook. I think that that's been very inspiring.
He keeps changing it too, and I like that.
I think, look, the person who's been, you know, an incredible mentor to me and somebody that I admired a lot and learned a lot from was Dave Goldberg, you know, the CEO of SurveyMonkey. I used to work for him at Yahoo Music.
Mm-hmm. So what was the best thing he did for you when he was alive?
You know, I think just... really being inspiring in terms of, I mean, I learned a lot from him when he was at Yahoo Music as my boss, you know, kind of being bold and being courageous and kind of believing in the things that are really important. And, you know, it was, we were working through a big corporation and he had sold.
What is important? It changes every day.
Right. No, but I think, you know, like the things that when you have strong convictions, you know, just sticking with them, not playing the political game, you know, which at Yahoo, you know, obviously it's a big company with a lot of different competing priorities.
And by the way, it showed up too.
Right, exactly. Right. But I think, you know, seeing also what he has done, had done at SurveyMonkey and how loved he was. And, you know, I think for me, it was somebody who, even though we didn't talk that often, always had my back, always thought of me when he had opportunities. And I know he did it for so many other people and was able to dedicate the time.
But he was special enough where you thought you were the only guy, right?
Yeah, I think it was incredibly rewarding and made you feel so special that he would dedicate the time to think of you when he, you know, was the CEO of a very successful company, had, mm-hmm. high visibility wife and all the things that go with it. And, it was great. And to me, I really believe strongly in caring for the people I manage. And, you know, I think that's really important. And, you know, kind of building good karma in terms of helping others, because at some point you'll need their help. And as an entrepreneur, you know, of a small startup today, you know, I see that, you know, it takes a village and I need the help of others. And I'm glad that I helped them in the past sometimes, because, you know, not that anybody right. owes a favor, but it's like, you know, again, it, you know, what comes around goes around.
By the way, lover or hater, that's the best thing she ever said. It takes a village. Hillary Clinton. We are here to inspire, inform, and create a village of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Mike Ditcher. On the field, they called me Iron Mike. But some days, even Iron Mike can feel a little rusty. So I turned to Blue Emu. Blue Emu's non-greasy, deep-penetrating formula gets down deep for big-time comfort. And more importantly, it doesn't leave me smelling like a locker room. Now, if you excuse me, I have some yelling to do. You hit like old men! Blue Emu. It works fast and you won't stink.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest-growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day, watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
This report.
Welcome back. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. She's Julie Campestron, the CEO of Stop, Breathe, and Think. Something we should all do in our lives, but you know what? We don't. And that's why you're here. How do you get people to stop, breathe, and think?
You try to make it easy for them. Mm-hmm. So, that's, you know, the answer. First thing is, if you are looking at beginners, like people who've never meditated before, that's why you have this emotional check-in. That's, you know, initially the app was...
By the way, before you continue, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Let's explain what it is. It's an app and a website.
Sure. Yeah, so it's, you know, Stop, Breathe, and Think is an app where you check in with how you're feeling, mm-hmm. and then we recommend short activities, you know, guided meditations, but also short yoga routines, acupressure videos that are tuned to those emotions mm-hmm. to help you deal with them. And, you know, one of the things to get somebody into it is that emotional check-in. You know, the app was born out of a nonprofit dealing with teens, right? And it was very hard to get teens to meditate. And what happened was Jamie figured out, and her team figured out, that, you know, having them check in with and label their emotions, you know, I'm feeling angry, frustrated, mm-hmm. despondent, disappointed, whatever it is, was a great way for her to get them to meditate. And so she applied that in the app, and it's actually proven to be incredibly powerful for people who are not familiar with meditation to kind of get into it. Because you're asking them first to do something that, you know, for the most part, we can all do, right? We can all say whether we're sad, happy, frustrated.
And then, we all are.
Right, exactly. And then we really offer a very small amount or short, you know, recommendations. So you don't have an overwhelming amount of choices. You know, we kind of make the work, we do the work for you. And then those are all short activities. And so in 3 to 10 minutes tops, you can kind of get some peace of mind and some calm. And so that's our way to kind of make it easy for yeah. people.
Why, not how, but why did you come up with this?
So again, you know, I really kind of hopped on the bandwagon to some extent. Jamie was really the creator of the app.
Right.
She was an investment banker in New York, decided to change the course of her life, wanted to have a more of an impact, came back to LA, founded this nonprofit, Tools for Peace, teaching mindfulness and meditation to at-risk youth. And seeing how much of an impact she was having with the kids in the workshops, decided that an app would be a great way to reach more people. So that's how she created the app initially, and that's what that was the inspiration, just to make it, you know, more available and more accessible. It ended up connecting with a way broader audience than initially it was kind of intended to do. And so it connected with an audience of 18 to 34 beyond teens, kind of broadened. No marketing whatsoever. We still don't do any paid marketing besides some PR. And, you know, 2.2 million user downloads later, you know, kind of realized that, you know, this was something incredible in a category that was really powerful.
What kind of staff do you have?
So we have 11 people, 7 full-time, and then 4 part-time people.
Mm-hmm. How's that work?
You know, it's great. I mean, we were really able to kind of handpick everybody. A lot of the folks who, as freelancers, worked on the V1 of the app when it was bootstrapped with a nonprofit came on board full-time. I was very fortunate to work with some really incredible talent at my previous company, Demand Media, and so was able to kind of bring some of those people on board. You know, I think for me, what was really interesting with the story of the app, you know, when Jamie came to me last year a little over a year ago to kind of be the CEO for the company and to help her build it as a business, was to have that authentic kind of story. And it tied really well with things that I was really interested in. And I think developing the app now further is really inspiring and exciting.
Did all of this just fall into place for you?
Totally. It felt like...
How did I know that?
It felt like a lot of the stars aligned at the right time. You know, I turned 40, actually Dave Goldberg passed away, like all in the matter of, and I had one difficult thing in my life at that point, all in a matter of a couple months. I had been at Demand Media for 8 years.
Turning 40, isn't that?
No, but it's a milestone. It's not like I was particularly depressed about it. It was just it felt like
it's a milestone.
A lot of things happening in my life.
Oh my God, my life's over milestone.
No, it was more like, hey, you know, I only have so much time to make an impact, and I just want to make sure I'm really working on things that, you know, I'm excited and passionate about. So I took a little bit of time off, and then Jamie came to me with this opportunity, and it just seemed to align perfectly with what I was interested in. And even though, you know, it wasn't necessarily on my radar to be a CEO, it just was a topic I was passionate about. You know, I really felt like there was already incredible traction with the app. And then it was just funny signs. Like, I went to my son's kind of beginning of the school, and the principal had us, all the parents, do 1 minute of meditation, like silent meditation. I'm like, okay, I got it. Okay, I'm going to take this job. I'm going to do this. You know, and it just kind of felt like that.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs and meditate. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Julie Campestrano is our guest, who's come up with not only a way to change the world, but make money doing it. We won't stress the money, but you know what I mean. So stop, breathe, and think. How much has it changed since the day you started?
You know, it's,
as meditation and thinking.
Right. I mean, it's changed in a few different ways. I mean, we've added a lot of content. New meditations that we've kind of bundled around a subscription or a membership that we introduced. We also started introducing emotions-based yoga, emotions-based acupressure, which were things that we didn't have before.
What's emotion-based yoga?
So, I mean, there are specific, you know, yoga routines and yoga movements that, you know, if you're suffering from stress, really help you, right? And it's different ones if you're looking to get energized because you're feeling sad and down versus if you're feeling hyper and stressed or if you're trying to go to sleep, which is also, you know, we also help people kind of calm down before they go to bed. Same with acupressure. There are specific points that help you calm down if you're stressed, energize if you're feeling down.
So what's been the feedback on this thing?
You know, it's been great. I mean, the app was loved already. I mean, that was one of the things that to me was really motivating when Jamie...
Look for apps like this.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, people were raving about it already. And, you know, as we've added new modules, I think people are seeing, hey, they're doing something, they're adding content. You know, a lot of it makes a lot of sense for them.
And well, that's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's that meditation. I read that 2 months ago.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, refreshing the content, bringing variety, bringing other types of techniques and activities. I mean, again, if you want to have people stay with it, which again, ultimately is our goal, like we want people to be doing this consistently, you have to help them. You have to bring variety. You have to bring things that are easy, different, and people will gravitate to different activities. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do. I think we're also trying to figure out what are the best ways to deliver that? You know, is there a way to push a little bit more of those activities. Like, hey, daily, could we also have inspirational quotes? Like things that kind of get you back without it being high friction, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the innovations we're working on. We haven't released them yet, but those are some of the things we're working on.
You might imagine I've got kind of an eclectic Facebook family. But I start every day at about 5 a.m. with a quote, you know, an inspirational quote.
Yeah.
And that's like the most popular thing on my Facebook all day. So I stop doing everything else. I just do that.
Yeah. You know, I think people...
They love it.
Yeah. Look for inspiration.
All right. I needed that today.
Some of it is like the right quote can really help reframe your day, mm-hmm. you know, because it will trigger that little spark of like, okay, wait, let me look at this through a different angle. And sometimes that's all you need is to just look at things, you know, with a little bit of a different prism and, you know, to kind of help you like go through your day in a better way.
Julie, merci.
Yeah.
Merci
beaucoup. De rien. Avec plaisir.
And good luck. Stop, Breathe, and Think. It's not only a website, stopbreatheandthink.org. It's also an app.
Thank you.
Making the world better. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This has been This Rock Stars. I'm Pat O'Brien.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Nicholas Barely. He's the CEO of The Billion Dollar Body. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Dude, I'm so glad to be here. Finally, we're face-to-face.
Finally on the show, brother.
I love it.
So The Billion Dollar Body, break it down for us. What are you guys doing?
So we help male entrepreneurs and business owners look and feel like $1 billion. That's simply what it is. We do health and fitness for the busy entrepreneur okay. to make sure that they can achieve more in their business, their relationships, and life.
So like I feel like most businesses, you either create it for a lifestyle and maybe out of a problem that you've wanted to solve in your own life, or you create something with the intention of growing it and scaling it. I feel like, based on what I know from you, you have a unique story and journey of how you went through some health struggles. And I feel like that's probably what inspired this business.
Tell us about that. I mean, even from health as a young age, at 5 years old, I decided I wanted to be a professional motocross rider. Mm-hmm. And that was my number one goal. And I had no goal of going to school or getting a job or any of these things. My number one focus was on that. And so right around 12 years old, something happened that was pretty crazy in my life. And I had a really good connection with my dad. My dad and I did all the motocross racing together. And so that was like my lifeline. Mm-hmm. But my parents split up when I was five. And so I was already torn into two places. Yeah. And then by the time I hit 7 years old, I had written my first suicide letter. So like I had so many different problems going on emotionally, mentally at this time in my life. And then right around 12 years old, I had to like cast out a line of someone to support me because I wanted to give up on everything. But the only dream I had was to be a professional motocross rider. And so if that failed, I had nothing else left in my entire life. My life was over at 12. And so what happened was I was talking to my dad. I still remember it to this day. I walk out of my room and I was following my dad down into the garage, out into the back patio where we used to hang out and talk. And that was like our guy time. And I'm walking down three steps into the garage. And I'm like, Dad, I want to be the best. I want to be the best in the world at motocross. and just trying to go, come on, tell me that I can do it. Tell me, believe in me. And he turns around, and in that particular moment, he says, you'll never be the best. Mm. And it just crushed me. And I ended up gaining 60 pounds over the course of the next 3 years and gave up on everything in my life.
Wow. So having a parent support you or not support you is one of those moments where it can send you in a completely different direction. And it did that to you. My question, though, is I know who you've become today. And like many of the people that come through these doors that have had something happen in their lives that could hold them back and limit them, you at some point had a light bulb moment that triggered something inside you to push through, to get in great shape, to make money, and to impact people around the world. What was that? When did that light bulb moment happen for you?
So I'm going through high school and I'm noticing, holy crap, I'm starting to gain some weight, right? Like this is not going down the right trail. I started hearing my parents actually fighting about me, my stepdad and my mom, having fights about how overweight I was getting, right? I'd gained 60 pounds by the time I was 16, almost turning 17 years old. But I would just take that and I would just try to starve myself. And I didn't know what to do. And I'd give it up on everything. I had started my first business when I was 12. My dad always told me if he just had a weed whacker and a lawnmower, he would always be able to make it. Even if his business failed, he could always make it. So that's what I did. But after gaining the weight, I couldn't touch it. I was like, I'm too embarrassed. I couldn't put myself out there. My self-esteem was low. I never had a girlfriend all throughout high school. And so there was a bunch of things that happened because of this lack of self-esteem that I had. And all of a sudden, I go to school, and I'm wearing the same sweatshirt that I wear every single day, trying to cover myself up because kids would always make fun of me. And one kid brings out this bag of colorful stuff. And I was like, what is that? And he goes, oh, it's fruit. And at this point, my mom had never bought fruit before. We would eat literally mini corn dogs, potato skins every single night. And what had happened at that moment is I said, why did you bring fruit to school? Because, you know, we don't. You eat big cinnamon rolls and
especially
chocolate
back
milk.
Then, there was no health trend.
None. And he said, I'm a fighter. And my coach put me on a plan so that I could weigh in at the correct weight so that I can fight optimally. And I just went, I tied performance with health. I went home, changed everything right there. I never talked to that kid again. And I lost 53 pounds in 6 months. And that's what propelled me forward and allowed me to get confidence again, to start stepping out, to start taking risks, and then attract my wife, who I've now been married to for 4.5 years, and then start my first business again with her.
Such an incredible story. And it's so amazing how certain things will trigger us. And you had something that triggered you that put you down the wrong path. And then you had something that triggered you
Absolutely.
And put you down the right path. CEO of the Billion Dollar Body, Nicholas Bareilly's in the house. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. And we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to know for you, you're somebody who teaches people better habits and rituals to be healthier and happier and perform better. What are some of the ones that you either teach people or apply in your own life?
Yeah, so the first thing is getting clear on where you want to go. This is you can never, never, ever figure out and set a game plan if you don't know what the destination is going to be. And so whether it's my health, my relationships, my business, everything has a destination of where I want to go to tick that mark out the box. So I project in the future and I tell everyone to project in the future where they want to be because then we can go back and we could set up a game plan to get there. The other thing is figure out what your top three priorities are. It's just, it's one of the most biggest mistakes that I see. I've worked with personally 550 one-on-one clients throughout the last 4.5 years. And through that time, I've realized that all of them didn't have clear top three priorities. So they were allowing the fifth, sixth, seventh priority in their life to trump over and make them fail at the top three. And so I generally have people roll them out as health is the number one, which is growing themselves.
Yeah.
And then second is their relationship, because this is why they're building everything. This is what's motivating you to build that business.
And if you don't take care of your health, your relationships aren't going to flourish.
And you're not going to be able to show up. You're not going to be able to show up in your business. And you're going to be operating at a lower percentile than your ability, than your genetic ability. And then the third thing is going to be your business or impact. What's that thing that you're doing to impact the world, make your income so you can serve your family and be able to invest in yourself?
So if health's one of the top primary values or should be one of the top primary values and things that people are working on consistently and wrap good habits and rituals around, why do you feel like even with all the information we have available, all the dietary plans, all the free information and coaching and advice for how to live a healthier life with our diet and with exercise, all for free? More than ever before in history. Why are people more unhealthy than they've ever been before?
It's just not about what you know. It really doesn't come down to, you can Google everything that I teach. I guarantee you can find it. everything that I teach. We're not experts at how to the newest technology and this and that. Yeah. We're experts at teaching people to apply what they know. And so what happens is if you get information, you don't apply it and don't produce a result, that actually creates unbelief in your mind that, hey, I got new information, I didn't apply it, it didn't work. And so next time I get new information, I'm not going to apply it and it's not going to work.
Which again. Is why you hear, in, at least in the health space, right? Everybody that says, I tried every diet plan, they don't work, you know? And then I don't know what they say about going to the gym because there's no really excuse there.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone always says, I tried every diet, it doesn't work. And yet they can't name more than usually two or three.
And every person you talk to knows something they could be doing right now to be healthier than they currently are.
So is it accountability then that people need the most support with?
Well, accountability, that's a really good point, is that if you have accountability, someone doing something with you, you have a 66% higher chance of hitting your goal. And right now, you know, this time of year, 97% of people right now will set a New Year's resolution of health, and or 90% of the people that set that New Year's resolution will lose weight, and then they'll actually gain more back than where they're at. And so that's why it's such a big deal. Who would invest in something that, or put into action something where there's a 97% chance of failure and a 97% chance of getting into a worse position? And so that's why our mission is, that's why we have our mission, is because we want to make sure that these people have the resources to not only have the information, but apply it, see a result, which causes them to keep going.
Something else about the accountability is you guys have created an environment. And you do that through your trainings and your online trainings and your events that you guys have. What I think is awesome is that, you know, the environments that people are living in with their family, their friends, their work, their social media, all these things are environments, are what are reinforcing and conditioning their habits. And they try to change the habit or the ritual or the behavior, the action, but they're still in the environment that conditions them to go right back to where they were. How can people learn to, like you've done and you've helped so many other people do, break free and shift into a new, healthier, more conducive environment to apply these new habits and rituals, especially around this time of New Year?
And this is why health impacts every single area of your life, because you would never go, oh, I'm gonna stop eating sugar and then have a cake and then have this pie and have it all in your fridge, because even someone like me, who's been through it all, has seen the other side, would still struggle with that problem.
Because it's in your environment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I need to make sure that I'm separating myself from those things. But not only that, just getting stuff out of your environment doesn't work. You have to then replace whatever that void is with something else. You never create a new habit. You just replace the habit with something else.
People go, I got rid of this habit.
Yeah.
You stopped eating, but now you're smoking.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Or drinking. So
absolutely. So you need to always figure out and focus on where do you want to be and make sure you're creating an environment of where you want to go and not running away from the environment you don't want to be like. Because you see this in parents. You see this with in tons of different situations where someone tries to be the opposite of their parent. 30 years later, they end up hearing,
like
saying, you're just like your, you ended up just being like your mom, instead of focusing on where you wanted to be. So you always need to, one, cut it out, set a new habit in place, and focus on where you want to go rather than where you're running away from.
So on your journey so far, what's been one of like the worst people you've had to work with in the sense of so much struggle of like not taking action no matter what you told them to do? Give me like a worst case scenario for a health client you've had to work with.
Yeah, so the worst is when we enroll them into one of our coaching programs and we don't pre-qualify that it's going to be hard and they need to be able to apply. Because if you don't apply, nothing's going to change. And so a worst case scenario is if someone just doesn't do what we say, right? That's just the biggest thing. I think one of the biggest things holding people back today is that they're not coachable. They want to act like they're successful, and that keeps them from learning more. The most successful people, just like yourself, that I've talked to, are always willing to learn and always looking to learn.
What a fantastic way to end it. Nick, pleasure to have you on the show, brother. One last
thing. Thanks so much, man.
Where can people learn about you, get more information about you?
Yeah, so Facebook, Billion Dollar Body, facebook.com/billiondollarbody, Billion Dollar Body on Instagram, and then Nicholas Bailey. Anyone who reaches out to me on nicholas@thebilliondollarbody.com. I'll reply to everyone, and I'm looking forward to getting to know them.
Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We connect a community of entrepreneurs, so you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Starting and owning a business is hard. You go to work knowing that your mistakes will likely be a little more than temporary setbacks. Here are a few regrets most entrepreneurs faced. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, burning bridges. Few people intentionally burn bridges out of spite, but entrepreneurs often let relationships decay or slip away without hope for recovery. Sooner or later, you lose a client or an employee and think nothing of it, only to realize what you've lost sometime later. Preserve as many relationships as you can. Number two, not living in the moment. This is potentially the most significant regret on this list because it's the one that stays with you the longest. You'll focus so much on getting more revenue or selling the business that you'll forget about the little moments, like bringing the team together or celebrating major milestones along the way. Don't let moments like that pass you by. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Hi, I'm Danny Lipford with Today's Homeowner, giving you a few tips in being able to have a safer and healthier home. And one thing you can do for both of those, as well as making your home a little more energy efficient, is to add insulation in your attic. We're using a mineral wool insulation from Rockwool that I've used a lot over the years because it's mildew resistant, extremely easy to install, and also it's very fire resistant. That may give your family a little extra time to get out of the house in the unfortunate situation of a fire. We're also trying to improve our indoor air quality by making sure all of our exhaust fans go all the way to the outside and actually enhancing the experience a little bit by installing an MP3 player that's part of the Braun Sensonic brand. Really cool to have that music while you're in the shower. And video surveillance cameras from Carrier, the core system, are so easy to install. Put them on the shelf and plug them in. More information available for you at todayshomeowner.com.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Now let's check in with Alex Worley for good reason. She's always got somebody great. Alex?
What kind of entrepreneur are you? I'm Alex Worley, and here to help us answer that question, Jay Rosenzweig. He is the CEO of Rosenzweig and Company. So first of all, you believe there are two types of entrepreneurs. What are they?
I think essentially there are two buckets of entrepreneurs. The first bucket I would call the parenting entrepreneur. What does that mean? It means someone who came up with a business idea, ran with it, enjoyed enduring the early stages of raising capital and building the team, but also thrives in seeing it through to a level of maturity for years and years to come very often. And the second kind of entrepreneur is the serial entrepreneur, or what I would call the serial entrepreneur, the individual who actually thrives at the early to growth stage, enjoys and has the stomach for over and over and over again starting up a business, raising capital, developing the relationships needed and the teams needed for that kind of endeavor, and has the stomach to do it again. And that actually also has implications for an individual who is starting out aspiring to be an entrepreneur. People always ask me, how should I go about this? And the first question I ask them is intuitively, do you see yourself as a parenting entrepreneur or a serial entrepreneur? And it also has implications as regards one of the businesses I run, and that is the executive talent management business. Because if you're that serial entrepreneur, it'll have implications on who you want to hire and the kinds of individuals you want to hire. Because if you do move on to your next endeavor, you're going to want to ensure that the business is in the right hands. If you're the parenting entrepreneur, it might be a different kind of executive team that you'll be looking to build.
Interesting. Okay, so some people who are watching are probably going, oh, I know I'm a parent entrepreneur. I know I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Right.
For those who are watching who don't know, let's go over some of the pros and cons to each.
Right.
So starting with parent entrepreneur.
So parent entrepreneur, for the right individual, it's the right slot for them. But if you're more the serial entrepreneur who gets juiced up about the angst, frankly, but that's something you thrive on in terms of raising money, coming up with a new idea, getting to market. So if you're that kind of individual, you might get bored remaining in the same company up until maintenance mode, frankly, when the business is humming. Now, if you're more that individual who enjoys the resources that you've had as that parenting entrepreneur with the larger size business that has begun to thrive and is somewhat in maintenance mode as opposed to the startup company, you know, then you won't want that as a serial entrepreneur.
So it really depends on your personality.
It's really a personality thing.
Okay, yeah. So let's say that you decide that you are a parent entrepreneur.
Yes.
And you're just starting this company. What are some of those first steps that you would take knowing you're a parent entrepreneur?
So when you start a business, you inevitably will need to go through the stresses of early stage businesses, which means you may need to pivot in terms of your original concept because you might test it and it might not work. You might not be able to raise exactly the kind of capital that you wanted to. There's all kinds of things that you'll have to go through. But if in the end you're able to withstand that and have the right advisors around you who can help you through that earlier phase, then that's the way you can ultimately thrive. But you need to have the right people around you. And you need to recognize that asking for help is actually a strength and not a weakness. I find that in my line of business, very often businesses that don't succeed are victims of founders who had too much ego to admit at a certain point of time in time that they actually needed the help to take the company forward, to help them mitigate certain kinds of risks and get them to the next levels.
Well, since you're an expert in this, how do you hire the right team? And I'm sure that's a very loaded question, but where do we begin?
So you need to begin with understanding what the business strategy is. It's not so much about taking orders as a recruiter. You need to understand where are you looking to go? What sorts of sectors do you want to be selling into? What's the overall strategy? And once the talent management advisor is aligned with the founder and investors on what they want to achieve moving forward, the talent advisor can then develop a research strategy which is customized to meet the business objectives at play. And when you are aligned with business objective in that way, you're able to develop a finite pool of candidates that match exactly the kinds of objectives you're looking to meet. As opposed to, okay, you're in a certain kind of business, I'll find you a certain kind of individual. It might be that the best kind of candidate, let's say you're selling into the retail space, would need to be from a particular sector that would benefit the retail space, but not the obvious candidates from certain pools.
Okay, so then how does it differ for being a serial entrepreneur, both backing up those first steps when you become a serial entrepreneur and hiring the right team?
So for a serial entrepreneur, succession planning is probably the biggest focus. Because if you're going to move on to a new gig, you need to make sure that the people you hire under you have the opportunity to take over the business. So the recruiting objective is a little bit different. And the selling points to candidates is a little bit different. Because you're hiring someone who will be perhaps a number two, but only for a certain finite amount of time. That candidate will know that eventually, if they perform and they thrive, they'll be able to take over the business. But for the parenting entrepreneur, If you hire a COO, let's say, that person might be a perpetual number two, or would need to move on to a different company if they've outgrown that COO role.
Awesome. All right. Which one are you, serial or parent entrepreneur? Thank you so much for all of your insight. My guest, Jay Rosenzweig, he is the CEO of Rosenzweig & Company, and we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.